Teófilo de Jesús. Welcome to my podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the reaction to Bishop Tobin of Rhode Island. Following his remarks, his tweeted remarks about warning his the Catholic faithful, primarily of his diocese, but also every other observant Catholic in the land who gets to read his tweets. I can still pronounce that word correctly. Goodness gracious. Anyway, his tweets. Bishop Tobin said that Catholic faithful cannot and must not participate in all the celebrations regarding the lesbian, gay, bisexual, questioning, transgendered that are taking place this month. This month that is primarily for Catholics dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We cannot participate in celebrating something that, if pursued with full knowledge that is wrong and with full liberty of the will, is a mortal sin that will separate us from God and one another. He was right. The bishop is right. That's the position of the gospel. That's the position of Jesus Christ. That's the position of the church. Now, there was a reaction, and the good bishop apologized for those he hurt with his remarks. But in no way did he call back or walk back his remarks regarding the truth of what he said. And that's because the good bishop and every observant Catholic in the world knows that the gospel is a two-edged sword, that it will cut through the heart of the matter, and that it will cut through your heart. It will, the gospel will, show you who you really are and where you really stand in the eyes of God. It is true that God will accept you and welcome you as you are, but he will transform you, and he will turn you into the man or woman that you were called to be, created to be, designed to be, holy, righteous, and pure in his sight. He doesn't leave you alone. He will change you. Many people don't want to be changed and run in horror from it. And particularly the reaction to the bishop's remarks, as I took, you know, defense of his remarks, was appalling, because there were men who used words that were vicious. They were completely impure, unclean, and they used those words, those phrases, those sentences with the full intention of hurting, of humiliating, and somehow in a weird way to achieve a kind of sexual dominance upon the believers, upon those who wrote in defense of the bishop, those of us. And you can tell that there is an unclean spirit doing the rounds against these poor people. I'm not saying they're possessed. I think possession is very rare. But definitely those who have given themselves completely to uncleanliness do have a guardian demon that try to keep them where they are, enslaved and under the worst bondage possible. And they will express themselves in the with filthy language, with coarse language, because that's, you know, that's what they know, and that's how they feel themselves empowered to impose themselves upon others. These brethren that are in this kind of bondage, I need our prayers, our consideration. And, you know, the best we can do is to be holy ourselves, and pray for them and forgive them. And we should look at them as Christ looks at them, not as pieces of meat that are just to be thrown away because they're rotten, but as children of God, worthy of redemption, worthy of healing, worthy of transformation, and worthy of holiness. And I want to leave you with that thought. We are not better than anyone else except for grace, and grace is a free gift. We didn't earn it. God gives it to us. Without grace, we cannot be the worst sinners. And many of us are still struggling with the remnants of the old man or the old woman that remains within our spirit, the treatise of sin that we still need to clean out of our souls with the help of Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit. Well, and I'll leave you with that, and I hope you have a great day or night, whatever that might be, afternoon, and invoke the blessing of our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon all of us, and the peace of Christ that surpasses every understanding may remain with all of us.